My name's Steve McEnroy, one of the pastors here at The Rock, and it's just it's my privilege, absolute privilege, to be able to preach tonight, to dig into God's Word with you. You know, the last two weekends, if you were here, oh my goodness, we celebrated Easter last weekend, and the weekend before that, we talked about the death on the cross. Such a good two weekends. I hope you're all able to be a part of that. It was really amazing. A number of people responded to the gospel, and we're just excited about what God is doing here in our little church. Today, we pick back up in season 5 of our Romans series, and that's titled God's Service. Very practical instructions we get from the Apostle Paul, and I just appreciate what he has to say. Let's take a little review. It's been a while, been a couple of weeks out of Romans. Now we're stepping back in. I'll go about a month back. Bill started us in Romans chapter 14. Remember, his teaching was titled Judge Much with the question mark. And his four main points were: we should accept those who are weak in faith. We are not responsible to change other people. And his third point was only God can judge people's heart motives. And his last point was Jesus will judge everyone so we don't have to. So good. It's good teaching. If you haven't heard it, I would suggest you listen to it or watch it. And then Josh picked up the second half of Romans chapter 14. And his was titled Make Right Judgments. And he started off with a tongue-in-cheek, don't be a judgmental jerk. And he said a number of points here. One of them was make right judgments which are based on the Word of God and have nothing to do with our opinions. Peacemaking is every believer's responsibility, another point that Josh made. And he also said the specifics, the who, what, where, and why of the Christian life are a matter of conscience between you and God. That's such good teachings. All of our teachings you can go online and listen to or watch again. And if something really strikes you, I'd suggest you do that. Take the time to listen to what God has given us. You know, differences are normal in the Christian church. We see that. It's not uncommon for Christians to disagree. Of course, there are some things on which Christians must agree, like who is Jesus and salvation. There's certain things that we must agree on. But there are other issues that both Josh and Bill kind of sorted out for us that we can talk about, we can discuss. They're a matter of conscience. You know, if you haven't read our statement of faith for our church, statement of faith, and I would guess that probably some of you have not. We have a lot of people. Our church has grown considerably lately. I would suggest you go on to our website and you read our statement of faith, or you can get a copy at the Connections booth, or read our core beliefs so you know what we're preaching about, what we're talking about. It'd be important for you to know our core beliefs. Tonight, we're going to continue on in Romans. We're going to step into chapter 15. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 7, just a few things that as I studied this out, I thought were really something that we could talk about. This is part 42 of our series. So our overall series, this is part 42. So we've been in this for a while, and I'm thankful for that. I think God's really used it in our church. In these verses, 1 through 7, Paul is discussing our attitude when we differ. I think a good illustration is basic harmony in music. The main thing to remember is the harmony's role is to support the melody, not overpower it. This also plays in our community when we disciple one another, especially when considering the strong and the weak. We all play a supporting role in each other's lives, and we are not to lord it over each other. The young and the weak, the strong and the weak. We're different. We're all different places in our walk of faith. I like this picture. I think this one tells more than 1,000 words. And this is a few years back, the Christmas choir, some of the kids from our church, singing some Christmas songs. And as a proud grandfather, I was there and I heard it and I thought they sounded really good. But I haven't been able to find any of the recordings on Spotify or Apple Music or any other music platforms. But I'd like to just look at this picture. A number of different personalities, even in our children. A number of different personalities. My oldest grandson, Abel, has given you a fine example of harmony right now because his mouth is closed. And sometimes to find harmony in the church, you need to keep your mouth shut. His younger brother, just in front of him there, Henry, he's doing what he's told. He's singing a song. He's making a joyful noise to the Lord. And if I remember correctly, and I was there, I'm thinking Wesley was feeling pretty confident that night and carrying the crew. But as I look at through there, there's just all different personalities trying to make a joyful noise to the Lord, just looking for harmony together to praise the Lord. And John Belduck, I'm not sure the hat and what he's doing there, but I think it's part of the harmony. All together. I can't help but think when the Lord looks at this universe and he looks at us, ragtag bunch of Christians, I can't help but think that he's just pleased that it blesses him when people all over the world make a joyful noise to the Lord, are harmonious Christians that love each other, that love the Lord. Let's pray and we'll dig in. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I love you. I just, even just seeing your handprint and all these people that are getting baptized, Lord, that's just evidence of you. Lord, you're at work in our church and I just thank you for that. I pray tonight you just help me that I wouldn't misspeak. They would only hear what you have to tell us, Lord. Take your word and just use it to teach us tonight. And help us to put aside all the things that distract us so we can focus on you. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to just look at four keys toward harmony. I mean, in this section of scriptures, there are many more, but these are just a few ideas that I put together. The first one would be bear with one another and build each other up. So each time you come to a place where a preacher is teaching, you have an opportunity to learn. So whenever we read scripture together, at look at scripture, it's your opportunity to learn. So I invite you to read these verses with me. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. To bear, Paul used that word, not merely to tolerate or put up with, but to uphold lovingly is the point he's trying to make here, to uphold lovingly. And he says we have an obligation. I've underlined that in my notes. We have an obligation to bear with one another. Paul did not want the strong to simply put up with those who were weak in the faith. Rather, the strong are to actively assist the weak in living out their Christian faith. That's our role. Not that a Christian should never please themselves, but they should not insist on doing what they want without regard to the scruples of other Christians. We need to keep our brothers and sisters in mind in the different things that they see us doing that we do with them. Paul wants us to accept Christians right where they are in each one's spiritual journey. And I appreciate that. We'll step back to chapter 14. This verse, I think, just supports a continuum of chapter 14, now in chapter 15. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. that really kind of sums up even this entire teaching. You know, in this church, we have worked hard over the years. God has helped us. God has blessed us. We worked hard to build a culture that's loving and caring. And one by one, you brought your families and you stepped into that culture. And it's really the Holy Spirit that has changed us as we've grown in our faith and brought us together to build that culture that's, it's really supernatural. Sometimes I can come here and say, you know what? Spirit was here tonight. God, it was amazing. God showed up. And I believe that tonight, that God's here to help us and to teach us. Not only are we to bear with each other, but to take a step further and build each other up. Like a godly married couple might raise their family, their children, helping them learn and grow every step of the way. Just help them. This is over here. Here's the word of God. Here's where we get together, be in a small group. All the different things are just helping people along in their faith. No matter where they are or where they came from, we have all so many different backgrounds and places and things we've been taught and churches we've been at and different types of things that we've seen. We're just so all very different. You know, I'm so thankful for baptisms. It's really a picture of the Lord at work, really evidence of Him rescuing people and drawing people to Himself. You know, I've worn the hat of kind of trying to help people decide whether they should be baptized or not, and hand out the little baptism studies to everybody and just try to field that for a number of years now. And sometime, I'll just be honest with you, it's just pretty overwhelming. A lot of people, well-meaning, have good reasons they want to get baptized. You know, parents, they want their children to be their to be baptized so they get that naughtiness out of them. Or a believing Christian might want a gal that he's got his eye on, but she's not a believer. So he wants her to get baptized so that they can get together. Lots of different things, lots of different reasons over the years. People thought, well, maybe I should get baptized, and say, well, have you been baptized before? Yes, but I want to do it again. It was just so good. I want to be cleansed. I've kind of fallen away from the Lord. Oh, baptized one time, praising Jesus for what He's done in our lives. Sometimes people even refer to me as Mac the Baptizer. And that's a pretty heavy load to bear. And some of you, this might alarm you. Just look away. You don't have to look at it. But I just want to make it clear, I'm not the judge. I mean, honestly, sometimes when I meet people and they want to get baptized, I will push back and send verses to them and talk to them about salvation and what that means and what the baptism means and knowing Jesus and what Jesus has done for them. There's so many people over the years who just, it's just an opportunity. It's really a gospel opportunity to share with people and help them a little bit further along in their walk of faith. You know, we could push back and say, oh, you're crazy. You're not ready to be baptized. No, that's not what the Lord would have us do. We're to love each other. We're to help each other understand the many things that the Lord has for us. You know, what frees my conscience, because sometimes, you know, I might think, I'm not so sure they're ready to be baptized. But again, I am not the judge. It's not up to me. So in some ways, it frees up my conscience just to say, you know what? It's between you and the Lord. This is what Scripture says. You read it, understand it. Then who am I to say you're not a believer? See what I'm saying? There's so many things like this that we need to have discussions about, but always with the mindset of not lording it over people, but saying, you know what? God is drawing that person to Himself. Can I help them get closer and understand the things that I've learned over the years? God helps us with that. Second point is to be encouraged by Scripture. Read verses 3 and 4 with me. For Christ did not please Himself, But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, Psalm 69:9 here, describes Jesus' suffering. You know, Jesus went to the cross for us. He did it all for us. He didn't hold back anything. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Brian just had a poignant look at the crucifixion and the shame, our shame, that Jesus took upon himself. He went all the way for us. He invited us into his world. And we have to remember to go to Scripture in the things that God is teaching us. We need to look to Jesus' example and many others in the Bible to learn and be conformed to be like Christ. Again, as Josh mentioned in Romans 14, right judgments are based on the Word of God. So that's where we go. That's where we get our answers. That's how we decide on things. God, the great composer of Christianity, conducts the harmony using his word, the Bible. And in this church, we come under the authority of the Bible. We believe this is God's word, and we come under its authority to direct our lives. And we're thankful for that. In so many ways, it's freeing. I can go to the word and know what to do. And you can too, and I would encourage you to do that, to come under the authority of God's word and get into it, know it, read it, know God's word. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, Paul refers to Scripture again. He says, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. Again, he's referring to Scriptures on whom the end of the ages has come. Paul refers to Scripture. We must remember what Jesus has done for us and hold fast to the truths of the Bible, written for our instruction. We need instruction. We need the Lord's instruction in our day-to-day life. Don't try to run without him. You'll miss out on the amazing things that he has for you. I like this verse from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is living and active. I know it personally. It's been living and active in my life for years and years and years, and I'm so thankful for that. And it can be for yours too. He knows exactly what we need every moment of every day. Why wouldn't we look to him for direction? We must. We must cling to God's word so that it can be living and active in our day-to-day thoughts and lives. I implore you to. I like what Augustine said, the Holy Scriptures are our letters from home. And I would just add, not only our letters from home, but I believe the place we find harmony in our pilgrimage of faith. That's the third point, is strive for harmony, along with the title of this message. Read verses 5 and 6 with me. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such good truth, such good verses. In accord or agreement, conformity with Christ. Not that all believers necessarily come to the same conclusions on matters of conscience, but that we might agree to disagree in love. A mindset of harmony is important for Christian unity. We don't condemn and belittle each other. That'd be crazy. Rather, we should learn to help each other grow and worship God with a united voice and spirit that will ultimately glorify God. God has called us together in this church to glorify Him. That's what our goal is. That's what He wants for us. That's what we were created for, to glorify Him. I like these verses from Colossians 3:12, actually, through 15. I think it's just in a nutshell is what I'm trying to say here. Read them with me. Chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Can I just pause? Can I just say, God, Apostle Paul's talking about us. Put on then as God's chosen ones, that's us, holy and beloved. He says, put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. He goes on to say in 14 and 15, I underlined a part of this, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Boom, there it is. In a nutshell, the Christian life. I would do a mic drop, but I have a headset on. Just boom. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. God just directs us. He makes it clear to us. It's not complicated. He just shows us what we need to do. I'm so thankful for that. I need that. I need a direct God talking directly to me to show me what to do. And He doesn't hold back. He does that. God will show us just what we need to do. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I just like saying his name, says, God has chosen us to help one another. You're not on your own. This is our family. God put us together to help each other, to grow together. Is it going to be messy sometimes? You betcha. And it has been over the years. But the Lord will take care of us. He will lead us. He will direct us as long as we keep our eyes on Him. It's just so simple, I think sometimes we just miss it, or we somehow pause and let it go by us. Just need to help each other. Take the time to consider your brothers and sisters in everything you do. And the final note, key to harmony is welcome one another. Again, seems simple. I appreciate this section of scriptures because I'm a simple man. And I just need to be directed. He said, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. You know, this verse can easily be stepped over like a welcome mat in the front of your home. We are to welcome other believers with all their flaws and sins into our fellowship and treat them as family. Jesus has accepted us with all our flaws and sins into His fellowship and family. He's given us an example. The welcome is just pretty incredible. You know, my dear wife was the very best at this, at welcoming. And we learned from her. She was the very epitome of welcoming people like Jesus would. Some of you are here through the gateway of her welcome. We all want a warm welcome, don't we? I like to walk and pray in my neighborhood almost every day, unless it's snowing or too cold. Almost every day. And it bothers me whether I'm in my neighborhood walking along a path or if I'm in an airport or in a different country or in a different city when people, and we're in the same bubble and people won't make eye contact with me and say hi. It's the welcome. We get so caught up in our Western way of life that we're just, I got to go do the next thing. I'm in a hurry here. You know, I'm not asking for a dinner invitation. look at me. Say hi. God created us. There's something about the welcome that I think can slip right past us. The welcome leads to more. God works through us, through the welcome, so it can be more. And I've seen it time and time again. This verse from Acts, you know, why is this in the Bible? Because it's important. When we arrived, the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us warmly. You know, they didn't have to put that in the Bible, but they did. Paul and company made, they said they work in, it was important that we were welcomed warmly. You know, I've had the privilege of going on a number of short-term mission trips, and I'm always struck by the welcome I encounter when I meet other saints in different parts of the world. There's just something profound that happens when you get off a plane in a place that you just don't know where you are, and there are some saints that want to help you, that love Jesus, and we have this commonality, and the Holy Spirit just draws us together. You know, if you've never stepped outside of your comfort zone, just for that little piece of a mission trip, I would encourage you to do it. When you meet people in Poland or Germany that love Jesus, and you see each other, and it's just, my goodness, our God's amazing. He's all over the world. He's everywhere. And it just kind of strikes you like, oh my goodness, this God of ours is tremendous. And he rules the universe. You know, we have some dear friends, our friends, 19 of them, been in Croatia helping with a conference, European conference. Bill Young, our pastor Bill, has been teaching a conference, taught on heaven. I hope it's recorded so I can listen to it. And some of our dear saints have been there all week helping these Great Commission Europe missionaries from all over the world, just helping them in this conference. And mark my word, when they come back, they will be different. They'll be different after rubbing shoulders with all these boots on the ground missionaries that are sold out for Jesus. When you encounter that, it changes you. You say, there's God at work. I want that in my life. I want to burn for Christ like they are. But please be praying for that crew of 19. They're sleeping right now, but they're going to get up 6:45 and try to do the whole time juggle thing again and be on planes and a long trip back here. And my daughter has sent me some photos, and they look tired. And rightly so. When you're tired for the Lord, it's a good thing to be tired for. And they have spent themselves for these people, and they're going to be blessed by that. It's going to change their lives. But please be praying for traveling mercies and their flights. So many things could go wrong today, missing flights or losing equipment. Just please take the time to pray for our dear brothers and sisters that are coming back from Croatia. I like this verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. There is just something about the welcome. God often uses the welcome to lead people into salvation. I've seen it time and time again. It's the door to telling people about Jesus. And I just wonder if the Lord looks at our church and the church, Christian church globally, people that genuinely have a faith in Christ. I just wonder if it's somewhat like that original picture that I showed you. And we're all just his kids. Some of us are keeping our mouths shut. That's probably a good thing. We don't say what's on our minds sometimes. Some of us are playing different roles and different things. We're all parts of the body coming from all different places. God is looking at that and just pleased with the joyful noise, just pleased with the harmony that he sees? I think so. Just to end, I'll just review quickly. Four steps towards harmony. Bear with one another and build each other up. All of these are just pretty simple. Uphold each other lovingly, not lording it over each other. Be encouraged by Scripture. The Word of God is living and active. Immerse yourselves in the Bible. And strive for harmony. Conform to Christ in everything and love unity. And lastly, welcome one another. Learn to welcome people genuinely and invite them into your life. And then introduce them to Jesus. It's why we're here. God wants us to be involved in his kingdom that is advancing and will continue to advance, and we're caught up in that somehow, and it's harmonious, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. So I'm just going to close in a prayer. Went a little long tonight, so we're not going to have a final song, but I'm glad that we had baptisms because that was just a glory to God. Jesus, thank you for tonight. I love you. Thank you that you're at work in this little church. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, help us to bring glory to your name in everything we do. I thank you for this church. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you for a chance to look at your word together. Lord, help us just to hang on to one little thing that might draw us closer to you and closer to each other. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming.